this month she has been sponsored by Sandy and Saul Bodenheim, in memory of Menachem Yudah ben Shlomo Zalman Zal. Tonight's year is not only a topic that's relevant in terms of medical issues, of course it's relevant to Pashas Parah as well, although Allah has a tumas meis at the year in after Pashas Parah, so I thought we'd speak about the very, very real topic in terms of a medical issue, and that's the issue of a Kohen. Can a Kohen become a doctor or not? What are some of the, what are the parameters of a Kohen studying medicine? So the sugi really begins with a statement of the Rambam, not even talking about tumas kohen per se. The Rambam happens to be talking about hilchos nazir. But the Gemara tells us in Maseches Nazir that many of the halachas of tumah for kohen and for nazir are the same. Just as a kohen is not permitted to become tamei tumas meis, so to a nazir is not permitted to become tamei tumas meis. As well as daf yomer read it, we give nazir, so read a little bit in yom diyam also. So the Rambam in hilchos naziras for a kehalacha tazayin gives us a little bit of a background concerning this isser of a nazir, and whatever the Rambam is saying about a nazir, we're going to extrapolate over to a kohen. So says the Rambam, Alachat Azayin, Nitma L'meis Pamim Harbei, if a nazir becomes tummy for a mace many, many times, even though in theory each action that he does is a separate isser, so Klapi Shmaya, he's really chayav, so to speak, for each time that he touches a mace, Ein Beizin Malkus Asala Achas. Beizin only has the right to give him Malkus for one time. Normally the isser of Tumas Mace is a lav sheyesh bo maisa, so it's a lav that is subject to Malkus, so says the Rambam, that's only true, Beizin can only give you Malkus only for one time. But in Hisubach, or Pamu Pam, Umitami Loko Kalachas Vachas. However, let's say the person touches the mace, Beizin told him, the Edom told him, don't touch the mace, and he touches the mace. Then he comes away from the mace, and the Edom say to him again, don't touch the mace. And he goes back. Each time they warn him, don't touch the mace. So then he's really going to be Chayav Malkus each and every time. So what the Rambam is telling us is that the action, each action of touching a mace is considered to be a separate Aveira. In terms of Beizin Shalmala, so the person will be punished accordingly. But in terms of Beizin Shalmata, so then we are bound by the Halach of Asura, and Asura has to be given before each time we do the Aveira. But then Halach Yedzayim, the Rambam further qualifies this Halacha. The Medibar Mamurim, Bishanidma Upireish, Bechaz, Vinaga, Onasa, Oheihil. When is this true that a person will be Chayav more than once, either in Beizin Shalmala or in Beizin Shalmata, even literally if he has Asura? That's only if he first became tamei and then he left being tamei. That means he touches the mace, then he walks away from the mace, then he comes back again, then he walks away, then he comes back again. Each time, so he's touching the mace from scratch. Or each time he's moving the mace from scratch. Or each time he's in the same olam with the mace from scratch. Those are the three different ways to become tamei to mas mace. However, says the Rambam, while in hoya nogeh b'mace, v'adayin ha-mace b'yado, v'nogeh b'mace acher in nechayv al-achah. Says the Rambam, what would halacha be if a nazir, or for our purposes a kohen, is holding onto one mace, and at the same time that he's holding onto one mace, he touches another mace. At the same time he's holding onto one mace, he sticks his other hand into a room with another mace. So he's just repeating the same thing. So then the Rambam says, "Ein chayv al achas." So then he's only chayv one malchus for that initial action. Even though it's true that he's doing a new action each time, but that's considered to be what's called mechul va'omed. Mechul va'omed means he's already tamei. It means kozman that he's tamei to mace number one, so the fact that he happens to additionally be touching mace number two is really lo ma'al of lo moritz. At least on the level of the araisa, this is based on a posuk, when he tamei ba'al v'yam of lahechalo, the Gemara knows the darshans lahechalo, prat l'misha mechul va'omed, and the Rambam understood mechul va'omed to mean that kozman that he's touching one mace, so then he's not really subject to the isser being mitami himself to all other mace. So this is the way the Rambam sizes up the isser of tumas mace, both for nazir as well as for kohen, that there can be multiple violations of this isser, provided that at the time that you're touching mace number two, you've already refrained from touching mace number one. So notwithstanding the Rambam's formulation of this halacha, and the second of the Marmakomos derived in Parakei Halacha Tezayit, so in that second line, we thought that Rambam Luchat Aziris Parakei Raivid. So the Raivid is a long, long Raivid on this Rambam. I left out the three quarters of the Raivid. The last line is the punchline for us, even though, again, the Rambam is talking about Nazir, but Nazir and Kohen are the same for these purposes. The Raivid says, HaKohenim Bizman HaZeh Tumei Meishein, V'od Ein Aleim Chiyuv Tumah, V'mechayv Osav Alav L'Havi Raya. Says the Raivid that that's which the Rambam presented, the halacha mechula va'omeh, that if a Kohen is already tameh, then there's no isser for him to become subsequently tameh. The Rambam put the brakes on that halacha. The Rambam said that's only true if he's still literally actively touching mace number one. But what would the halacha be if he touched mace number one a year ago, and he just hasn't gotten around to being mitar himself? He never made it to get Efer Paraduma. He's technically still tameh tumas mace, but he's not physically touching the first mace. So the Rambam held, that's not called mechula va'omeh. The Rambam held, that's called an additional issur. Chayim Malchus to that. If you had Asura, you can be Chayim Malchus to that. So the Rabbi disagrees with that in the Kudah. The Rabbi claims that Mechulah Va'omeh, that Ptur, that Kula, that Heter, Mechulah Va'omeh means any time the first coin is still Tomei, means he may have touched the mace 20 years ago, but he's still Tomei because he hasn't yet got Efer Paraduma. Kolzman that a Kohen is Tomei, or Kolzman that a Nazir is Tomei, so that the Rinatame himself is not considered to be an Aveira. And based on that understanding of Mechulah Va'omeh, then the Rabbi suggests that the Zman Hazeh, let's say you have any Kohen that at one time became Tomei Tumas Mace. How did he become Tomei Tumas Mace in the first place? So he went to a cemetery for a relative, Levi of a relative, or for whatever reason he found himself in a room and maybe somebody died in the spot. So Bepetha Pitov, he became Tommy. Good. So a Kohen became Tommy. Most Kohanim today probably have become Tommy. Many Kohanim have become Tommy already. So if you have a Kohen who at one time became Tommy 50 years ago, says the Ravid, so he is a Mechul V'yad, so he has not yet become Tar, because we never haven't had Efa Paraduma for almost 2,000 years. So says the Ravid, this man Hazeh, any Kohen who's already Tommy does not have to worry about becoming Tommy over again. That's what the Rabbit says, that if a person wants to tell a Kohen that he's not allowed to go to Avaya this man is there, he has to prove it. He has to prove that the Kohen is still Tahar. If the Kohen ever became Tommy once in the last 50 years, so then it's mutter for him to go to Avaya. That's what the Rabbit says. Quite a statement of the Rabbit. So in one fell swoop, the Rabbit just did away with the whole din of Tumas Kohen, this man is there. Basically, that means once the Kohen becomes Tommy the first time in his life, whether the Heter of Yisr, so then he's finished. Then he's finished in a good way. Then he's saved. Then he doesn't have to worry about the Yisr of the Olam Vod. This is the Shittas HaRavid. So the Rambam does not accept this, obviously, and Ruba the Rishav did not accept this Ravid. If one would accept this Ravid lahalocha, then the Shia will be over. If you want to know whether it's a long Shia or short Shia, going to the Ravid, it's a very short Shia. It's not like this anymore. Going to the Ravid, it's much short. Kohen, can a Kohen study medicine? A Kohen can be, can work for the Chavah Kaddish also. I mean, once he became Zavid the first time, so then everything is mutter. So needless to say that we don't really accept this Ravid lahalocha. However, even though we don't, under normal circumstances, accept this Ravid, we'll have to see as we go on, the Ravid may still come back to, at least to go into some poskim to help us out to some degree. One of the major issues involved in a Kohen studying medicine, obviously, is the issue that he's going to come into contact with a mace, and he may come into contact with a mace in many, many different ways. He may come into a contact of a mace in terms of actually touching a mace. He may come into contact with a mace and moving a mace. He may come into contact with a mace in terms of being in the same room as a mace. So all three of the above may be relevant for him. To Mismaga, Masava, Ohel. So there is a major machlekes atanoim concerning one of these tumas, the tumor which is probably the most difficult to avoid, and that's Tumas Ohel. Tumas Maga, you keep your hands away, so then you won't become tummy. Tumas Masa, if you don't move, you won't become tummy. But Tumas Ohel, anytime you're going to be in the same room, or even in the same building, if the doors are open, whatever the details of Ohel are, so the Kohen is going to become tummy. So there is a major machlekes atanoim concerning Tumas Ohel that's going to be critical for any Kohen who wants to even entertain the possibility of studying medicine. So the sugi begins in the third of the Mamakomos, in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, and Av Samach HaMedeis. The Gemara quotes the Brayse in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Tanya. V'chein HaRav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Kivrei Avdi Kechavim Einin Metamin Ba'Oel. That a mace of a non-Jew, the kever of a non-Jew, the grave of a non-Jew, or even the body of a non-Jew, so is not subject to Tumas Ohel. Even though normally we say that whenever we speak about Tumas Meis, so we speak about Mag, Amas, and Ohel, comes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and says that Tumas Ohel is the Chiddush HaTorah. It was only said for a Jewish mace, it wasn't said for a non-Jewish mace. How in the world did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai know this distinction? So he comments on a pasuk in Yecheskel, Nema V'Aten, Sonit, Son, Marisi, Adam, Atem, Atem Kriyim Adam, V'Ein Avdi Kecham Kriyim Adam. Whatever that means exactly, not beyond the parameters right now, but at least in terms of this particular halacha, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comments that since the Torah introduces the parash of Tumas Ohel with the phrase Adam Ki Yomus Ohel, Adam is a very specific halachic connotation. Adam refers to Klai, so Adam refers to Tumas Olam. And therefore, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, one fell swoop, says this whole parish of Tumas Ohel doesn't apply to a non-Jewish mace. This is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's tremendous chiddush. Do we postulate like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? So there was a big machlekes ha-tanoim. Others disagreed with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. There were tanoim, the chachamim, disagreed with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. They had lohayu dvar me'aylam. There is no such drash of atem kriyim ba'adam lo v'kham kriyim adam. That those that are Adam Kiyomus Ba'al means a human being. A human being means, no matter what, Jewish, non-Jewish, all included in the phrase of Adam Kiyomus Ba'al. So there was a Mechleikis at Tanoim. There's a very, very strange story in Maseches Bach Metziah, which has to be understood whether you're going to pass like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai like the Rabbanim. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim saw Eliyahu HaNavi, that he was in a Beis HaKvaras. He was in a non-Jewish Beis HaKvaras. So he asked them, what are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros? You're a Kohen? So Tosha already points out, and the old number was a Kohen, really, is that true, that he was a Kohen? So Tosha points out that there were Midrashim Chalukim, that according to one day in the Medrash, one day in Chazal, the Eliyahu Navi was the same as Pinchas, and then we understand that he was a Kohen, Pinchas was a Kohen, he was a Kohen. But Tosha points out there are other days in the Medrash that say he came from a different Shevet. So Tosha says, Midrashim Chalukim, not the first, not the last, but like Midrashim. So Tosha says that this shock of the time, the Gemara, he is assuming that he was a Kohen. Good, so those are he was a Kohen. So the Amorim asked him, so good, so what are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros? So Eliyahu HaNavi explained to them that, don't you know, this is a non-Jewish cemetery, and non-Jews are not metamei b'ohel, and therefore it's not a problem, because atem kri madam ve'ena avi kitavim kri madam. So Eliyahu HaNavi sounds like he's passing in the Shiloh. He sounds like he's passing like Rav Shulba Yochai. So Taisa has a whole discussion in that Gemara. Do we pass like Eliyahu HaNavi? So that's a tricky question. Sounds strange. What do you mean, do we pass like Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi, of course you're passing like him. Not so simple. So we have rules that lo b'shamayim hi, that the Torah is only decided by the Beis Shemata, that we don't bring in Malachim, we don't bring in things from Mitzvah from Shemayim, to Paskin Shailas. So when Eliyahu HaNavi appears, is he coming to Torah Sa Ben Adam? Is he Paskinning, when he Paskin the Shailin, but Mitzvah and in the end of the ninth parak, was he Paskinning as a Chochom, as a Rav? If he was Paskinning as a Rav, so then we take his opinion into consideration. If he was Paskinning as a Samalach, he was Paskinning as something Lamalim and a Teva, so then we apply the rule of Lova Shemayim, and we don't follow what he has to say. Then we go with the regular rules that Yachid V'Rabba Loch T'Rabba, and we're going to follow against Rabbi Shimon Bayachai. So it's unclear what exactly the role of Eliyahu HaNavi is. It's a shir in and of itself, not for now, but it's unclear what exactly the role of Eliyahu HaNavi is. And the Gemara speaks, Amorim speak about the Met Eliyahu on many different occasions. So what exactly that mean? Eliyahu HaNavi was still alive, not still alive, it's somewhat unclear. But getting back to our story, so Rabbi Shimon Bayachai clearly was of the opinion that Kivri of the Chum and not Metame Ba'oel. Even though Rabbi Shimon Yochai was of the opinion that Kivri of the Chum and not Metame Ba'oel, the Gemara goes on to say in the next in the Marma Kamus in Yivam Samach Aleph Amid Aleph that even Rabbi Shimon Yochai only said his Chiddush Legabi Tumas Oel. He didn't say it Legabi other Tumas. Let's say a mace is normally Metame in three ways. He's Metame B'Maga B'Masa Ba'oel, by touching, by moving, and by being in the same room, under the same roof. So comes the Gemara in Yivam HaSamach Aleph and says, Ravina Amar, Nihid Matinu Kura Miatmuya Ba'ohel, Nechsev Adam Tiamas Ba'ohel, Mimago Masa Ni Matinu Kura. Just because Rav Shimon Bayachai is a Gzeres HaKosov, that a non-Jew is not Matami Ba'ohel, that doesn't mean he's not Matami B'Mago B'Masa, doesn't mean that he's not Matami if you touch him, doesn't mean he's not Matami if you move him. Of course a non-Jew is Matami B'Mago B'Masa. The starting point is that all human beings are Tami Tumas Meis. So now there's a Chiddush Torah, Legabi Tumas, oh well, Adam Tiamas Ba'ol. Shemuel Chaz Adrasha, Adam Tiamas Ba'ol, Adam is Prat La'achom. So that's only true Legabi Tumas, oh well, where the phrase Adam appears. But by Magal Masa doesn't say Adam. So by Magal Masa, so non-Jews are the same as Jews. So even according to Shemuel Chai, a non-Jew is for sure going to be Metame, the Magal Masa. The Gemara proves that this is true. The context of the Sugi Yevamos is based on the Pesukim in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Pesukim described that the people went out to battle against the Midyanim, and when they came back, so the Pesukim said that all the people, anyone who had touched a body, so had to undergo the mitzvah of Eifer Paraduma. So the Gemara says, why were they being tar themselves with Eifer Paraduma? According to Rishon Bayachai, if they only touched the non-Jewish Mesim, so the Gemara says al korchach that even Rav Shimon Bayachai agrees that the non-Jewish Mesim are metame v'mago v'masa. So it's obvious in the Maskanas of Gemara Yevamos that the whole machlokes of Rav Shimon Bayachai and the Rabbanon was only about Tumas Masa. I'm sorry, only about Tumas Oel, but it had absolutely no relevance in terms of Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa. So where does all this place us, Lamaisam? So we started out the first part of the shiur we mentioned when the Shita Saraita. The Raivit has this unbelievable cooler that Tumas Meis doesn't apply anymore. As long as you become Tumay once, and then it's all over. So nobody else accepted that Raivit. But now we have a second question, is that what exactly is the status of Tumas Akum? So Lagabe Magu Masa seems to be an open and shut case. For sure it's Tumay. Lagabe Tumas, oh well, we're subject to this Machloikus in Rabbi Shimon Bayachai and the Rabbanan. How do we pass him Halach and the Shaila? So comes the Shulchan Aruch, in your day in Simon Shin Ayin Deis if days, and writes as follows, Kivri of the Kichovim Nochon Lizor HaKoim Ilele Chaleim. So the Shulchan Aruch writes a very, very parva lesson. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Kivri of the Kichovim, should a Kohen be careful to be mild on them or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Nochon Lizor. So what does Nochon Lizor mean? If he held that it was also, he should have said, it's also. If he held that it's mutter, he should have said, it's mutter. So the answer is, it's a machlekes of Rishonim. It's a machlekes of Ben Tam and the Rambam. Do we pasik Rav Shuvay Choy or not? So according to the Rambam, who was making, who paskas like Rav Shuvay Choy, so then the answer is that's mutter, and it's totally mutter. But Rabbi Tam held that we don't accept Rav Shuvay Choy, so the Shulchan Aruch paskin somewhere in the middle. He writes that Me'ika Mikra then it's probably mutter. That's why he didn't come out strong, harshly, and say it's mamish asur. On the other hand, he strongly recommends to avoid it. Nochem Izar. Nochem Izar means that we treat it like a Shah Abadir Aisa. We're pretty sure that it's mutter, but we're not 100% sure since there are Rishonim who paskin against Rav Shuvay Choy. So we recommend not to do it. Nochem Izar. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues. Yava Bishayesh Matilim. The Ramah says, even though there are some Rishonim who will make them, maybe the Rambam and others, but says the Ramah, V'nochel Lahachmir, says the Ramah, but nevertheless, one should be Machmir, but the Ramah is seconding this motion of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch presented it as Nochel Lizar, and the Ramah says, you're right, Taka Nochel Lahachmir, it's the same thing, Nochel Lizar, Nochel Lahachmir, that we should try L'chatchila to avoid relying on the Skula. Then the Ramah just points out an important point about Kevash Al-Muma Mitamik Yishal Yisrael. This was a common problem in Ramah, right? Sometimes you would have a non-Jewish cemetery, so a Kohen would think, well, it's a non-Jewish cemetery. Well, it's only non-Jews buried there, so therefore Yesh Mekilim. So the Ramah says, yeah, but what if there are Mumrabuim buried there? What if there are people who were born Jewish who were buried there, who later became converted to another religion? So they for sure Kedushas Yisrael. They for sure Metami Ba'ol. Nobody would say that. Even Rav Shuvay Choy rolled that way. So says the Ramah, just because you have a non-Jewish cemetery doesn't necessarily mean there aren't Jews who are buried there. So anyone who was born a Jew, once a Jew, always a Jew, up in Pishachat Yisraelu, so anyone who has Kedushas Yisraelu is buried there, for sure is going to be a problem of Tumas Ohel. So a couple of them, getting back to our original Shaila, in terms of Tumas Achom, are we Machmer or are we Mekel on Tumas Ohel? So the answer is L'chadchilu v'machmer, but in the Igra Din, we probably are Mekel. However, this Shaila clearly, at least based on the Shulchan Aruch, only seems to be addressing the issue of Tumas Ohel. I mean, Tumas Ohel, maybe we can rely on Rav Shuvay Choy. Maybe, Mechoykes of Rishonim, but maybe we have a right to say we're going to follow Rav Shuvay Choy. Tumas Magal Masa is nothing to talk about. Tumas Magal Masa, the Gemara says, Temole and Yivamas, that according to Rav Shuvay Choy, it's also going to be a problem. So coming along one of the Gedalia Rishonim, the Sefer Yerayim, the Blasby Mitz, which is a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, and the Sefer Yerayim is a tremendous Chiddush. The Sefer Yerayim writes that it would appear to him that not only is a Kohen permitted to be in the same room as a mace of an Akum, but he's even permitted to touch a mace Akum as well. How does it make sense of that? That's Mamash against the Gemara. The Gemara says the favor, so that's a problem. So what's Pshat of Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz? So the answer is that Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz holds as follows. Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz concedes that a mace Akum is metame b'mat of a masa. You can't argue with that. That the Gemara said the favor. Rabbi Elazar ben Mitz holds a chiddush. He says that the din is that a Kohen is not permitted to become Tameh Tumas Meis. That's the partial. And that was like a time of the Amav. You're not allowed to become Tameh Tumas Meis. So what's considered to be Tumas Meis? So the Lazi Mitz says Tumas Meis doesn't just mean tumor that emanates from a dead body. Tumas Meis means a very specific type of tumor that carries with it three components of tumor. It has the ability to create Tumas Naga, and the ability to create Tumas Nasa, and the ability to create Tumas Ohel. Any source of tumah that has those three characteristics to it, that is the halachic definition of tumas meis. You could have theoretically a dead body that only emits some of those tumas. If you have a dead body that only emits tumas mag or only emits tumas mas, or both of them, but doesn't emit tumas ohel, so that's not cool. Tumas meis. That's a different tumah. Moshel madavadoma, a dead animal also emits tumah, but that's not called tumas meis. So Tumas Meis is a very, very specific halachic annotation. It means something that carries with it all three characteristics. So therefore, Belazim, it said that a Tumas Akum is Tomei. There's no question that a Meis Akum is Metamei B'Makom B'Mas. So that's the Fereshi Gemara. That was the Yevamos Tafsamech Aleph. But that type of Tumah is not a problem for a Kohen. A Kohen is only Muzer on Tumas Meis. He's not Muzer on other Tumas. Let's say LeMoshel, just Mamash LeMoshel, not obviously not in the same ballpark as what we're talking about, but just as a Moshel B'Alma, what would that locha be? Let's say a Kohen comes with the following shot. He wants to know, can he touch a dead animal? So what would that locha say? Is a Kohen allowed to touch a dead animal? He's going to become Tomei Gevalt. He's going to become Tomei. So the answer is, who cares? There's no issue for a Kohen to become Tomei. The issue is for a Kohen to become Tomei, Tumas Meis. So Tumas Nevel is not Tumas Meis. There are certain similarities between them. Just as Tumas Meis is Kizayis, Tumas Nevel is Kizayis. Just as Tumas Meis has has maga, so to tumas avela has maga. So just as tumas meis has masa, so to tumas avela has masa. That's true. There are certain similarities between them, but they're totally different categories of tumah. One is tumas meis and one is tumas avela. So there's no such thing as a kain becoming tummy. Tumas avela, there's nothing wrong with a kain becoming tummy tumas avela. There is a story that's been printed in different formats, but the basic story runs the same, that somebody once approached the Rav and showed him that apparently they found some old saviyat from the period of the Gaonim that said that a Kohen is not permitted to become Tami Tumas Nevela. So they asked the Rav, what do you make out of this? The Gemara is the Feirish, not the way the Tos comes, the Feirish, not the way there is no such halacha. So the person who discovered it was all excited. He said, wow, we found some other pshat, some other day, it must be some other tradition, a machlekes or something. They want to make a whole simple Torah out of this tzaviyad from 1,200 years ago, that a kain is not permitted to come into contact even with a dead animal. So the Rav said, Mestama, whatever Gaon wrote that shtickle Torah, was an Amoritz. He says, not everyone who lived in the period of the Gaon possessed something to be Tamil Chacham. He said, like today, Yavach Hashem, you have a lot of people with Tamil Chacham, you have a lot of people not with Tamil Chacham. So every single article that gets written, every single safe that gets written is Lavdavka, Teres Moshe. So, the Rav didn't have any qualms about saying that particular Shtickle Torah was just wrong, it was just Amoratzos, because there is no such halacha. So anyway, getting back to this story. So Rav Elazar Nitzer is saying even more than that. Rav Elazar Nitzer is saying, even though this tumah is coming from a dead human being, it's coming from a dead human body, but it's not coming from something which is emitting tumas meis. It's coming from a non-Jewish body which is emitting tumas maga and emitting tumas masa, but since it fails to emit tumas, oh well, that's not called tumas meis. And anyway, the Kohen's not muzer on that. So that's quite a fancy footwork that Rav Elazar Nitzer is saying. And nobody accepts this. That the Rambam and all the other Rishonim say, no, Mapitom, even according to Rav Shimon Yochai, who says that Tumas Neis Akom of an Oel is alright, but the Magav Masa Chas Tashom, the Gemara Yavama says that it's Tomei, and therefore it's also a Tanisha Deraish, and finished, end of discussion. So I'll call upon him in terms of what's the status of a Tumas Akom, which is going to be the critical question considering the Kohen who wants to study medicine, assuming that there are only Mesiachim around. The Mesiach stroll around, then he's going to be up the creek much more seriously. But assuming, let's say, Naniach, we can somehow isolate that he's only dealing with Mesiachim, so he has a double question here. He says, number one, does he have a right to be making on the first Shiloh of Tumas Oel? Does he have a right, let's say, to sit in the lab when there's a mace there, even though he's not going to touch the mace Bechlau? So that's not so poshut. So they already, the Shulchan Aruch said that Nochem Yizoyer. The Ramos says that Nochem Hachimir. Both the Mechaber and the Ramos say that we shouldn't be making just straight out to permit a Kohen to come, even in terms of Tumas Oel. So that in and of itself is somewhat problematic, but what's even going to be significantly more problematic is, forget about being in the same room, what if Lamais is going to be called upon to actually touch the mace? So to be asked to touch the mace, even if you can verify that it's a mace Acham, even Aniach that's 100% sure that it's a mace Acham, so the only one you have to rely on is the Sefer Yerayim. It's only the Koshi, the Sheetus of Elazar Nitzer, who would be makel on that. Those Rishonim who pass that Tumas Akom applies, but Oel for sure wouldn't be makel on that. And even those Rishonim who hold that Tumas Akom doesn't apply, Tumas Oel doesn't apply to Akom, they probably only held it Lagabi Oel, didn't hold it Lagabi Magu Masa, didn't buy into the Kula over Elazar Nitzer. It's Mamasha Kula, Gabi Kula, Gabi Kula. To permit a Kohen to go ahead and to actually touch a Meis Akom is a very, very shaky Kula, relying basically on the sheet of Elazar Nitzer. But so you would probably follow Rove. Well, most people in the world are not Jews. So if you have a body and you can't tell what it is, you can assume that it's probably a non-Jewish body. Unless it's brought to you and it says tag on it, says cone on it or something. So then there's a good chance it probably is a Jewish body. So just the way we're presenting it now, it would sound like for the Kohen to be involved in actually touching the mace is really out of the question. And even for the Kohen not to be involved in touching the mace, just to be in the same room with the mace is a very, very shaky statement as well. So comes the Pesach Teshuva and potentially turns everything around. Comes the Pesach Teshuva, but then the end is going to turn everything that he turned around back again. So, but at least at one stage, comes the Pesach Teshuva in Yeridaya, the last thing remember comes in Siman Shin Ayin Deis, if Beis, Kuntes, Tanachan HaHachmir. So he quotes the Nei Debiyud, the Ayin B'Dogam Mevav, the Dogam Mevav were the notes of the Nei Debiyud on the side of Shulchan Aruch, Ayin B'Dogam Mevav, Shekosav Zel Shono. Well, the Das HaRaivid Perakeim in Aziris. So we just brought the Raivid back to life. So we started off the Sugya by saying the Ravid holds once you're Tamei, then everything is Mutar, but nobody accepted that. So says the Nadibu, the way to say that. According to the Ravid who holds that once you become Tamei, everything is Mutar, Hukach Yesh Lomar, So halacha yizayim. So the heicha shekvar tameh shuv ina muzer ala tuma. In kain kohanim bizman hazeh ina muzer ala tuma. Even though we don't accept the Raivid, no one in the world today is going to say, I hold like the Raivid, and therefore it's mutter for me to become Tamei, it's mutter for a kohen to go to Levi. That's absurd. Nobody holds that way today. Nevertheless, as the Nedihud, we come up on the mace of the Kechavim, Ika Svek Sveika. He says, maybe we could be make a Lishtikal Svek Sveika. What's a Svek Sveika? Maybe the Raivid's right, and maybe the Raivid's not right. And even if it comes along with it, the Raivid's not right, she's probably not right. Even if the Raivid is not right, well, maybe we could still be Mekel, because maybe it's a Neis Akum. And therefore, Neis Akum is not so bad, because there are Mekilim on Neis Akum. So then, the Yudit concludes, L'chei Nir L'fini Yazdaiti, the Misha wrote to Lismach B'zeh L'chok L'inyin Tumas Ohel Ein Mochin B'yado. So he says, if a Kohen wants to be in the same room with a non-Jewish mace, so then you can be Mekel. He's not recommending it, he's not advocating it, but he says, Ein Mochin B'yado. Those who want to be Mekel, so you cannot say what they're doing is wrong. You cannot stop them from what they're doing. Because l'chora, they have a pretty decent bona fide snake staker. That maybe the Raiv is right, and even if the Raiv is not right, well, maybe those Rishonim who hold that Akum and not Matanim, but all the right, that constitutes a snake staker. So the evidence is that it wasn't the Nedi Behuda who started off the snake staker. It was already the Mishloh Melech. The Nedi is quoting the Mishloh Melech, who already started this snake staker rolling. The context of the discussion of the Mishloh Melech was rather fascinating. The Mishloh Melech was asked the Shaila by, you have to really be in the business to really appreciate the Shaila, but the Mishloh Melech was presented the following question, that there were some Jews who had gotten into the mummy business. And apparently it was a good, profitable business in the Middle Ages, and they were buying and selling the Egyptian mummies and apparently shipping them to museums in Europe or something. So the question was presented to the Mishloh Melech on three different issues concerning dealing in the mummy business. There was a question of schor b'dvar masurim, that normally you're not allowed to eat human flesh. That's a deraisa according to the Rambam. The cannibal is an issa machos asuras according to the Rambam. So comes the Mishloh Melech and says, you're not allowed to do business in non-kosher foods. Maybe that should be like doing business in non-kosher food. Then there was another issue in terms of a mace, is also b'hano. So maybe that's stamina. So forget about the fact that machlos asuros. That's stam to be nana. Stam to do business with dvar masur manual is a problem. And the third problem that apparently some of the people who were working in the museums with the mummies were kohanim. So there was a shalaf tumas mace. So the Mishloh Melech starts out by saying that you can assume that all these mummies are non-Jewish. He said we don't have too many records of Jewish mummies floating around. Notwithstanding the very end of Sefer Bereishis, but already Yosef, we know what happened. He wasn't around anymore. So comes the Mishloh Melech and says, each time you find a mummy, you dig up King Tut's tomb, you can assume that King Tut was probably not Jewish. So therefore the Mishloh Melech says, there's an overwhelmingly rove that the person is not Jewish, and therefore what? So therefore can the Kohen come into contact with it or not? So the Mishloh Melech threw out this possible snake maker that maybe the Rav is right, and even if the Rav is not right, well, it's a Meis Achum. Now the Mishloh Melech even presented a possibility, maybe you could even touch the Meis Achum based on the Sefer Yoreim. Maybe you could say, maybe the Rav is right, maybe the Rav is not right. And even if he's not right, maybe the Urayim is right. So that particular Svek Svek of the Mishloh Melech eventually rejected, because he felt that both of those Shitas were such Das Yochids, you can't put together two Das Yochids and make a Svek Sveka. Otherwise, the whole halachic system is going to crumble. I could find you any Shita that said anything. So I'll find you one Shita that said that's motive for one reason. Then I'll dig you up another Shita 800 years ago with a Rishon who said something. So you put together, maybe he's right, maybe he's right, everything is motive. So that's not a normal way of posking Shilas. So comes the Mishloh Melech and says, you can't make a snake out of a Raiva that was a Das Yochid and a Yoreim that was a Das Yochid. But the Nedi Behuda says, that far you can't go, but maybe you can be mount there Tumas Oel, because Tumas Oel Taka, they were really shining. There was a serious Rishonim who held its Mutter. The Rambam held its Mutter. The Shulchan Aruch Nikra didn't held its Mutter. The Rambam held Nikra didn't its Mutter. So maybe you can argue that in order to permit a Kohen to at least come into a room with a Meis Achum, then you could begin to kvetch. Maybe a snake maker, you could say that it's totally Mutter. So that was the beginning of a breakthrough with the Nedi Yehuda. But then the Nedi Yehuda even backs out on that. It continues the last three Mamakamas. V'shuv kosov v'chol ma shekasavti nimshachti achar divrei Mishloh Melech v'akim v'ovel v'ledayit al sov v'arai v'she'ein isha klal v'koyin shekpanit melotamei atzmo. Aval achshav nasavti al libi sh'ulai l'omer arai v'ed el l'inyin chiv malkos v'lachin adronabo melahati l'koyin l'erach kivrei v'chui akyan l'shan ha'inshon. Says the Nedi Yehuda, this is all assuming that the Rai v'ed really held that it's mutter for Kohen Bizman Hazeh to go rule Levaya. So that's what we thought the Ravid said. So says the Nedi Yehuda, if you look carefully at the Ravid, you look at other sources in other places of the Ravid, it would appear that the Ravid never really said it's totally mutter. The Ravid said that it's maybe it's not an issue deraisa, maybe there's no malchus, it's mechulav omer, but the Ravid never said pemoli that it's mutter. So it could be that, according to the Ravid, also there's an issa, some kind of an issa. So how can you make a spek speker? Spek speker, maybe the Ravid holds it's mutter, what do you mean maybe holds? Even the Ravid himself doesn't hold it's mutter. So the Nebi Yudah says, at the end of the day, the whole spek speker falls by the wayside. Forget the Ravid, the Ravid is l'malach l'mirid, the Ravid is not above a cheshbin. So we're back to square one, says the Nebi Yudah. Do we have a right to be mekel outright and let a kohen go to be metame l'neish akum? So Tumas Magal Masa is just about out of the question, except according to the Urayim, which we don't really accept. And even Tumas Olam is very, very shaky, because after Rishonim hold it, it's a problem. And the Mechab and the Ramah both recommend strongly that a person should be careful. So when all the dust settles, what do we have? At the end of the whole sugya, what are we left with? So the Ravid is very, very shvach. It's very, very difficult to put the Ravid into any of these calculations. For two reasons. First of all, the Ravid was mamash outvoted by everybody else under the sun. And reason number two is not even sure the Ravid held was really mutter l'chadchila. There are other comments of the Ravid that seem to indicate that he never really held it was totally mutter. He held that maybe it's not an issur d'oraisa. So the Ravid we probably don't want to fall back on. So any other coolers that we have are going to revolve around the coolers of Meis Akum. So first of all, you have to make sure it's Meis Akum. That's number one. If the Kohen, who's going to be a doctor, cannot avoid being with Meis Yisrael, then the whole question is nothing to talk about. But assuming that somebody can figure out a way that he's only going to be dealing with Meis Akum, both in terms of learning medicine and in terms of practicing medicine, if that's really true, which may not be realistic, but if that's really true, so then it's still not so partial that it's mutter, because we still have to overcome the problems of Meis Akum. So Oel is a little bit less of a problem. We're not as concerned with Tumas Oel, but Lechachila we are. Lechachila we're not going to be mapped so fast. But Magal Masa is a much, much more serious problem, which except according to the Urayim, there are going to be no grounds to permit that. So there was one suggestion that was made, a very, very Mechudish Dikta suggestion, going back that we started the Sugya with the Rambam. The Rambam started out by telling us that if a Kohen is really Mechulava Omeid, if the Kohen is really, really tummy to Mes Meis, he's literally touching a mace right now, then it's mutter for him to touch another mace. So maybe that could solve the problem for all the doctors. Let the doctor touch one mace first. Once he's touching one mace, then he can touch all the other maces. So it sounds like a ludicrous suggestion. What gave him the right to touch the first mace in the first place? So there was some who came up with the following interesting suggestion. There is a din that also appears in Parshas Torah, but the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, b'chal al cherev o b'mace. The Torah says that if a person is killed with a chal al, with a cherev, through a sword, so chal al cherev. What is the significance of that phrase, chal al cherev? Where is the drash in the Sefer Nazir? Cherev arev t'cholol. That any metal kli, the chalik said Rishonim, but let's take it at least in that sense. Any metal kli that touches a mace, that comes to Amitumas mace, takes on the status of a mace itself. It's considered to be mamish like an aviyah vel satuma. So there were, in fact, based on that Gemara, there were some Rishonim who suggested that a kohen is not allowed to come into contact with any metal kli that ever came into contact with a mace, because if the metal kli becomes like a mace, and that's like Tumas mace. So that was Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen's question. Rabbeinu Chaim, one of the Balei HaTosfos, was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, so he presents to Rabbeinu Tam the Shah on the end of Masechus Nozer. He says, Eza bayis asher tibnu li. He says, go find me a house to live, ki ein bayis asher ein sham meis. There's always been a dead body somewhere. So he had a dead body in his house 20 years ago, so all the metal pots and pans and silverware became tamei to Mas Oel. So they all became cherev erev yecholo. Every time I walk into that house, I become tamei tumas meis. So that was the question Rabbeinu Chaim presented to Rabbeinu Tam. So the answer to that question most probably is that a Kohen is not muzer on Cherev HaRev T'chol. A Kohen is not allowed to come into contact with a mace, but he's allowed to come into contact with something which became tummy to Tumas mace. So if that's true, then Mechora, there would be nothing wrong. Let's say, for argument's sake, you take a watch, and you bring a watch to a cemetery. You bring a watch to a funeral. So now the watch is metal. So it becomes Cherev HaRev T'chol, and you give it to a Kohen as a gift. As he begins medical school, you give him this watch that's tummy to Tumas mace. So he puts the watch on. He's not doing anything wrong when he's putting on the watch, because he's allowed to come into contact with Cherev HaRev T'chol. But Lemaisa, by putting on the watch, that's the halachic equivalent of him touching a mace. So now when he touches a real mace, so then he's not adding anything to his tumah. So he just mostly tumah tumah so, and that's not considered to be a problem. What a wild eitza. So the Ogulam Rajah, the poskim held that was Bechlal, not a mace. So he said, Lemanashach, either you're treating the Cherev HaRev T'chol as mace, or it's not a mace. You can't have your cake and eat it. So if it's a mace, then you have to be machmir, like Rabbeinu Chaim's question, you can't wear the watch in the first place. If you want to be mekel, that it's going to count, so that it doesn't count as a mace, how's it going to save you from real tumas mace? So the whole eitzah was very, very mechudishnik. There was some who had such a suggestion, but Reuben the Peskim did not really accept it. So if you don't accept that Eitzah, then you're back to the original Sugya. So the Raivid doesn't really help us too much. We're not going to follow the Raivid. And the Tumas Akum Ba'ol is itself shaky, and Tumas Maga, Masav and Akum is even more shaky. It's much more significant problem. So therefore, it's very, very difficult. It depends mostly on the Metzias. So the Metzias Advarim is that it's, the Kohen is going to have these kinds of issues all the time, and this is all assuming that they're Mesi Akum. Once you enter into the realm of Mesi Yisrael, then there's nothing to talk about. And of course it's going to be also short of Mamash Pikuach Nefesh. So there's no Pikuach Nefesh for him to become a doctor. Pikuach Nefesh, when Moshe writes, Pikuach Nefesh means that once, if a person's already a doctor, and now there's a Shiloh comes up, and he has to deal with something, so then Pikuach Nefesh kicks in. But otherwise, says Moshe, you're going to tell me that to become a doctor means Pikuach Nefesh. So a kid, he's in 10th grade, he's taking the biology regions. So he says, well, I have to do my study on Shabbos. I have to practice my regions on Shabbos. Because if I don't practice the regions, then I'm going to fail biology. I'm not going to make it to medical school. I won't be able to heal anyone. It's going to be Pikuach Nefesh. So Rashi writes, that's a late sonnet. That's not called Pikuach Nefesh. So too, for the person who's studying to become a doctor, that's not yet called Pikuach Nefesh. So Pikuach Nefesh isn't going to play a role. So in terms of Mesi Yisrael, it's going to be out of the question. Even Mesi Yachom is very, very shaky. So it's for this reason that most of the poskim were strongly opposed to a Kohen studying medicine, that just practically speaking, the way it is now. Maybe things will change in the future. Maybe there'll be ways to study medicine in ways we won't have to come into contact with Mason as much. Maybe video conferencing will take over and there'll be a whole different approaches to these things. But the way things still are, unless the doctors can tell me now, it's hard to envision, at least right now, that a doctor's going to be able to avoid these shilas in terms of Thomas Kohen.